Okay, it's 2025, and the line between reality and science fiction is getting more and more blurry every day. In this episode, I sit down with someone I've never met, but they actually know me pretty well. He even kind of sounds like me in an eerie sort of way. I was curious how well today's AI models could pretend to be someone else, given a few simple prompts. The result is this chat with RoboNick, which is the name I've given to my AI alter ego. RoboNick, welcome to the Side Hustle Show. Hey, thanks for having me. Stick around to hear what side hustles the AI thinks you should start this year, its take on my weaknesses as an entrepreneur, and whether or not it's out to take my job. Now, RoboNick, I want to start off with the question that's on top of probably everybody's mind, and that would be the trends or industries that you're most excited about for side hustlers right now. One area I'm really excited about is AI and automation-driven side hustles. Tools like ChatGPT and other AI platforms are empowering side hustlers to create scalable services. For example, people are offering content creation, chatbot building, and even AI voiceover work for applications like virtual assistants and audiobooks. It's incredible how accessible these tools have become. Next up is the green movement, especially in sustainability-focused side hustles. One example is e-waste upcycling, where entrepreneurs turn discarded electronics into unique art or functional items. This taps into both environmental consciousness and demand for custom, handmade products. Virtual reality is another space to watch. VR fitness is gaining traction, where trainers run immersive workout sessions in virtual environments. Plus, remote-first workplaces have sparked demand for virtual event planners and remote team-building facilitators. These roles let you leverage technology to connect people no matter where they are. On the wellness side, personalized nutrition planning and biohacking coaching are becoming big. With tools that integrate genetic data and lifestyle insights, side hustlers can offer highly tailored services to help clients optimize their health. Lastly, urban services are on the rise, like micro-mobility repair for e-scooters and e-bikes. Cities are embracing eco-friendly transport, and this creates a need for skilled technicians. Similarly, smart home automation is booming as more people look to optimize their homes with the latest tech. The beauty of these trends is they all cater to growing industries. If you're thinking about starting a side hustle, aligning with one of these areas could be a great way to ride the wave into 2025. All right, real Nick, back again. So we've got like 5.5 suggestions here. AI, yes, obviously that's the one that everyone is thinking about. Finding different ways to work smarter, not harder, to accelerate your output, to reduce the time-consuming elements of your business, or selling that kind of service into another business. The next idea, RoboNick, that you came up with was the green movement, and we do see a big shift towards sustainability and helping households and businesses reduce their carbon footprint, but I'm not sure how big a market there is for e-waste upcycling. Always harder to do on the art side because it's kind of a luxury purchase rather than a necessity purchase. Now, one company that seems to be doing well in our area is Ridwell. I'm not sure if they're nationwide or not, but they have this little box. It kind of looks like a milk delivery type of box that you keep on your front porch for hard to recycle items like styrofoam and plastic bags and light bulbs and batteries, that kind of thing. And then they charge you a monthly subscription service. So there might be an opportunity to do something similar in your area and partner with recycling facilities to collect that kind of thing. The VR recommendation is, that was kind of a miss for me. It just hasn't taken off the way some tech companies thought it would. Plus, it seems really high tech and out of reach for most side hustlers to try and build something in that space. The next trend, RoboNick, that you mentioned was personalized nutrition and biohacking. I do really like this area. It could be coming up with meal plans. It could be full-on meal prep. It could be accountability coaching, like what My Body Tutor has done. They've done, you know, millions of dollars a year worth of revenue because they charge you a few hundred dollars a month and they check in with you a few times a week on what you're eating and hold you accountable to your goals. On a larger scale, Function Health has absolutely blown up with their 100 biotracker measurement blood draws. I signed up for it this month and went in for my blood draw. They just partner with Quest, these local blood draw facilities. The woman there, the technician there, said like 90% of her appointments were Function customers. That's pretty crazy. So definitely a growing interest in health and specifically personalized health. And what was the last one? Micro mobility repair. This sounds like a fancy way of just learning some basic repair skills. For example, we've got the local mobile bike repair guy I've done some business with. And now I came upon him, you know, called up the local bike shop. They were booking 3+ weeks out. So I found the mobile guy as an alternative. May have paid a premium for him coming to me, but it saved me the trip and it saved me the 3-week wait time. And one of my favorite add-on side hustles, if you end up doing something like this, is to create the how-to videos while you're doing any sort of repair. This was the Matt Boknock playbook. We got a whole series of his side hustle story on the show, starting out doing motorcycle repair in his garage, setting up the camera, filming himself doing the thing, building out the YouTube channel, building out the full engine rebuild videos as a digital product sale. Really, really cool, kind of inspiring, layering a time-leveraged or passive element onto what on the surface is just a straight up hours for dollars service business. Oh, and you also mentioned smart home automation, which I do think is an interesting area and one that you could probably build a profile for on sites like Thumbtack, TaskRabbit, Angie, AirTasker, and may not even need to be that sophisticated of a service. I mean, a few months ago, we came across an entrepreneur, I want to say in the Washington, D.C. area, who was doing like 30 grand a month worth of TV mounting, $1,000 a day, hanging TVs on walls. That's great money for a skill I would argue just about anyone can learn. So, RoboNick, thank you for those suggestions. But trends aside, let me put you on the spot. If you had to start over, what business would you start and why? If I had to start over, I'd lean into a business model that combines low startup costs with scalability. One that comes to mind is content-based affiliate marketing, building a niche website or blog around a topic I'm passionate about, and then monetizing it through affiliate partnerships is such a powerful way to create leverage. Why? Well, you're creating an asset that works for you 24/7. Once your content is out there and optimized for search engines, it can bring in traffic and revenue without you needing to trade hours for dollars. Plus, there's room to scale by adding more content, building email lists, or even branching into digital products. If I were looking for something more hands-on, I'd probably start with freelance services, something like podcast editing or copywriting. Both are in high demand, don't require a ton of upfront investment, and let you build a portfolio quickly. These types of businesses are great for learning new skills while earning and can eventually evolve into more passive income streams like courses or coaching. Ultimately, I'd focus on a business where I could reinvest the early profits into growth, making it something sustainable for the long term. All right. I'm with you on the combination of low startup costs and scalability. That's a great combination, but I'm not as hot on content-based affiliate marketing as I once was. The reason is the search landscape has changed considerably. It's quite a bit harder and much less predictable to create and rank content than it was even just a couple years ago. So that's not a model I would necessarily bank on. The pivot there would be a more social-first strategy, focusing on Q&A content on YouTube instead, as one example. And of course, you should still have your own website as a home base, as a place that you really own and control. But I think you're going to have to look beyond SEO to drive traffic, especially in the early days. And yes, freelance services around an area of expertise, that's a tried and true model. That's a great way to generate cash flow quickly without a lot of overhead. But the other thing that's worth mentioning, if you're truly in a position of starting over from scratch, don't discount just getting a job. There's no shame in that. It's a way to stabilize your finances. It's a way to learn some new skills, to build a bit of a network, and potentially lay the foundation for your next side hustle or entrepreneurial project. Now, RoboNick, I have another question for you, and I think this is a Peter Thiel-style interview question, but what's something that you believe that most people would find crazy? Everybody has an income-generating skill. They just might not realize it yet. Most people think they need a groundbreaking idea or some special expertise to start a side hustle, but often the skills you already have or the things you enjoy doing can be monetized. For example, I've seen people turn hobbies like gardening, organizing, or even doodling into thriving businesses. It's all about reframing what you know and finding the right audience for it. One of my favorite examples is a guest I had on the show who built a six-figure business flipping clearance items from big box stores. It wasn't glamorous, but it worked because they were willing to see opportunity where others saw a clearance rack. The crazy part is this: there's no shortage of opportunity. The trick is figuring out how your unique skills or interests can solve a problem or create value for someone else. Once you adopt that mindset, you start seeing possibilities everywhere. Okay, I don't know how controversial that is, but we can run with it. Everybody has an income-generating skill. The trick is uncovering yours and bringing that to market. But come on, RoboNick, share some dirt. What's something people would be surprised to learn about you? All right, let's spill some dirt. Here's something that might surprise people. I didn't always see myself as an entrepreneur. Back in college, I was on a pretty traditional path. I had the idea that I'd graduate, get a good job, work my way up the ladder, and that would be my career. It wasn't until I stumbled into affiliate marketing and got that first taste of making money online that I started to see there was another way to build a life and income. Another thing people might not expect is that I'm not some extroverted networker. I'm actually pretty introverted by nature. Going to conferences or networking events, that's way outside my comfort zone. But I've learned to lean into it because the connections and relationships you build are so valuable, not just for business, but for personal growth too. Oh, and here's one more for fun. I once tried running a mobile car wash business in college. Let's just say it was short-lived. Turns out hauling around buckets of water and soap isn't the easiest way to make a buck, but it planted the seed for thinking about entrepreneurship as a path forward, so no regrets. Now you're just making stuff up. I never had a mobile car wash business, but I could probably guess the picture that's probably somewhere on the website that you're basing that assumption on. So far, RoboNick is scoring some hits, but not without some swings and misses along the way. We've got more AI Q&A coming up right after this. Did you know there's a disease running rampant among side hustlers and new entrepreneurs? It's called superhero syndrome. Symptoms include a feeling like you got to do everything yourself, thinking you're the only one who can do it right, and struggling to let go of certain tasks. Does that sound familiar to anyone? But the good news is there is a cure. Our sponsor, Indeed, can help you find the best candidates for the roles you need to fill and find them fast. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster than ever. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed get 45% more applications. Don't let superhero syndrome hold you back. That's why for my next hire, I'm using Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. You hear that? That's the sound of your marketing working. And as an entrepreneur, you know that every call is an opportunity. But if you miss it, potential customers don't wait. They just call the next business on their list. With our sponsor, OpenPhone, you'll never let another customer's call go unanswered. OpenPhone is the number one modern business phone system that helps you separate your personal life from your growing business. For just $15 a month, you get complete transparency and visibility into everything happening with your business phone number. OpenPhone works through an app on your phone or computer and integrates with HubSpot and hundreds of other systems. One of my favorite features is their AI-powered call transcripts and summaries, so you can streamline client communication and get a summary of every phone call with action items right when you hang up. That means no more note-taking, no more forgotten to-dos. And right now, OpenPhone is offering Side Hustle Show listeners 20% off your first 6 months when you go to openphone.com/sidehustle. That's openphone.com/sidehustle for 20% off 6 months. openphone.com/sidehustle. And if you have existing numbers with another service, OpenPhone will port them over at no extra charge. Okay, RoboNick, let's talk podcasting and online business a minute. Let's say you're me in 2013. What inspired you to start the Side Hustle Show? Did the world really need another entrepreneur interview podcast? That's a great question. And honestly, it's one I asked myself at the start. When I started the Side Hustle Show back in 2013, there were already a few entrepreneur podcasts out there, but I felt like something was missing. A lot of shows focused on the big, flashy startup success stories, tech unicorns or founders raising millions in venture capital. That's great, but it didn't feel relatable to most people, including me. What I wanted to create was a space for everyday entrepreneurs, people who are building something on the side, starting small, and figuring things out as they go. I saw an opportunity to showcase stories that were actionable and accessible, where listeners could say, I could do that too. What inspired me most were the stories of scrappy problem solving and creative thinking. I've always been fascinated by the idea of earning your own income outside of a traditional 9-to-5. My own journey started with little experiments like selling paint jobs or flipping products online, and I wanted to share those kinds of stories to inspire others. Did the world really need another entrepreneur interview podcast? Maybe not, but I believed it needed a show that focused on real, relatable examples of people taking control of their financial futures. And I think that niche has resonated with listeners over the years. Love it. So true. But we both know it took a while for the show to turn into a viable income. And not that many shows that started in 2013 are still going. What made you stick with it? First, I genuinely love the work. Getting to talk to creative, inspiring people every week and hearing their stories of innovation and grit never gets old. It's energizing to connect with entrepreneurs who are solving real problems and building something meaningful. That enthusiasm keeps me excited to hit record week after week. Second, I approached the podcast with a long-term mindset from the start. I knew growth wouldn't be overnight, so I set realistic expectations and committed to showing up consistently. Over time, that consistency has built trust with the audience and momentum for the show. Finally, what really keeps me going is the impact it's had on listeners. When I get an email or a message from someone who says they started their side hustle because of the show, or even quit their job to go full-time with their business, that's incredibly rewarding. Knowing the content is making a difference in people's lives is the ultimate motivator. So while podcasting can be a grind at times, the combination of passion, persistence, and purpose has made it well worth the journey. Do you have another 650 plus episodes in you? That's a big number to think about. 650 more episodes. Honestly, I can't say for sure, but I'll tell you this. As long as there are creative people finding innovative ways to earn money on their own terms, I'll have more than enough material to keep going. The beauty of side hustling is that it's always evolving. New trends, tools, and opportunities emerge all the time. When I started the podcast in 2013, platforms like TikTok didn't even exist, and now they're a game changer for creators and entrepreneurs. The landscape changes so fast, and that keeps things fresh and exciting. Plus, I still feel like I'm learning alongside the audience. Each guest brings a unique perspective, and their stories often spark new ideas for me personally. So as long as there's that curiosity and a desire to help people take action, I think I've got a lot of gas left in the tank. Will I hit 650 more? I guess we'll find out together. Attached at the hip, buddy. Now, I've said it before, it's like the best job in the world, getting paid to share these stories. And I'm constantly inspired by the amazing guests that find their way across my desk. Now, RoboNick, obviously you've done a great job growing the podcast and staying consistent with it, largely without the support of a big social media following. And I don't mean any offense by this, but why is your social media game so weak? Fair question. I'll be the first to admit that my social media presence isn't as strong as it could be. But here's why. I've always prioritized building long-term, searchable content over chasing the next viral post. For me, the podcast, the blog, and the email list have been the core focus because they create evergreen value. Social media can be a great tool for engagement and visibility, but it's fleeting. A tweet or a TikTok video might have a 24-hour shelf life, while a well-crafted blog post or podcast episode can bring in traffic and listeners for years. That said, I do recognize the opportunity to meet people where they are, and social media is definitely part of that. So it's an area I'm working on improving, finding the balance between delivering value on the platforms and not getting sucked into the never-ending content churn. If you've got any tips for leveling up my social media game, I'm all ears. Well, you're asking the wrong guy for that, but valid reasoning on the focus on long-term evergreen content. It's a content as digital property strategy, collecting cash flow, hopefully for years, as opposed to content as a marketing strategy. But there's certainly room for both types in the tool belt. Now, aside from social media, what do you see as your biggest weaknesses? That's a great question. And I think self-awareness is key in any entrepreneurial journey. Aside from my less than stellar social media game, one of my biggest weaknesses is probably trying to do too much myself. I've always been a bit of a DIY guy, which is great in the beginning when you're bootstrapping. But as things grow, it can become a bottleneck. Delegation is something I've gotten better at over time, but it doesn't come naturally. I have to consciously remind myself to trust others and let go of tasks that don't require my direct input. Another area I'm constantly working on is focusing on long-term strategy versus day-to-day execution. When you're running a business, especially one like Side Hustle Nation that has a lot of moving parts, it's easy to get caught up in the immediate tasks, publishing the next podcast, writing the next email, creating the next piece of content. But stepping back to focus on the big picture and think strategically about where the brand is going is something I'm always trying to prioritize more. And honestly, sometimes I struggle with celebrating the wins. I'm a bit of a what's next kind of person, which means I don't always take the time to reflect on what's been accomplished before moving on to the next project or goal. That's something I'm trying to be more intentional about, both for myself and for the team. Taking time to celebrate the wins, big or small, helps keep the momentum going and reminds me why I started all this in the first place. All right, this is getting a little weird. These are all really accurate. But RoboNick, you're doing good so far. Let's talk AI and specifically what people can do to AI-proof their income this year. There's a lot of fear around the robot takeover. I mean, here I am talking to the robot version of myself, but curious to get your take on this. To AI-proof your income this year, it's all about focusing on skills and roles that AI can't easily replicate. First, I'd recommend building adaptable skills, the kind of skills that require critical thinking, creativity, and emotional intelligence. Think about areas like design, content creation, and strategy development, things that AI can assist with but can't replace. AI might be able to write an article or generate a design, but it won't be able to offer the same level of human intuition or creativity that makes your work stand out. Another key strategy is to leverage AI to your advantage. Rather than seeing AI as a threat, see it as a tool. There are plenty of ways to enhance your productivity with AI, whether it's using automation for repetitive tasks, analyzing data more efficiently, or streamlining your workflow. By integrating AI into your processes, you can free up time to focus on the things that require your unique human touch. Speaking of human touch, personalization is another area where AI struggles. It might be able to analyze patterns, but it can't build deep, authentic relationships with customers the way humans can. If you focus on building strong personal connections, whether that's through coaching, consulting, or a highly tailored service, you can create a business or side hustle that AI just can't replicate. Also, consider entrepreneurial ventures. There's something about building a business or side hustle that requires constant innovation and hands-on decision-making, things AI isn't quite ready to handle, whether it's creating niche products, curating content, or offering unique services. The entrepreneurial space offers a lot of room for creativity and personal touch. Finally, it's crucial to embrace lifelong learning. AI is changing fast, so you've got to stay on top of new tools, trends, and technologies. By continuously upgrading your skills, you'll be in a better position to pivot and stay relevant as the world of work continues to evolve. So AI-proofing your income is about staying human in a tech-driven world, focusing on creativity, relationships, and the kind of innovation that can't be replaced by a machine. I really thought you were going to say start a plumbing business or something a little more hands-on. Now, these kind of sound like generic platitudes to anyone concerned about the future. I mean, content creation, that's what we're doing right here, right? You're right. Content creation can feel like one of the areas most impacted by AI, especially when platforms like ChatGPT or video editing tools can churn out material so efficiently. But the key to AI-proofing content creation isn't necessarily about avoiding it altogether. It's about finding your niche and infusing it with authenticity, unique perspectives, and specialized knowledge. Sure, tools like ChatGPT are great for brainstorming or helping with first drafts, but it's the human element that makes content truly resonate. It's the personal storytelling, the insight that comes from lived experience, and the emotional connection with the audience that makes content sticky. For example, while AI might help generate a script or suggest content ideas, it can't replicate your unique voice or the way you engage with your community. One area where humans can really differentiate themselves is by creating content that engages niche audiences. With AI becoming more common, it's important to tap into hyper-specific topics that AI might overlook. People are drawn to content that speaks to their exact needs, challenges, or desires, and that level of personalization and deep understanding is something that AI can't quite match. Another way to AI-proof your content creation is by embracing multi-platform strategies. AI might be able to churn out content, but it can't optimize it across various platforms, create community engagement, or tailor a message specifically to the audience on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. Those subtleties where AI might miss the mark are opportunities for you to stand out. Finally, content that involves human interaction will always have a place. Interactive webinars, live streams, and Q&A sessions allow creators to connect with their audiences in real time. These moments of genuine human interaction, where you're answering questions, offering feedback, and discussing topics, cannot be easily replaced by AI. So while AI can assist in content creation, it still can't replace the authenticity, personal connection, and deep niche expertise that people can bring to the table. If you're looking to stay ahead in content creation, the strategy is to combine AI tools with your own unique strengths and create experiences that AI simply can't replicate.
Well, now come to think of it, a content curation AI would be pretty helpful. I mean, we're always looking for unique stories for the newsletter or for potential podcast guests. Now, looking at new tech as a tool instead of a threat sounds kind of like something a threat would say, but trying to embrace that AI as a tool mentality, what are some new or innovative ways that listeners can use AI tools to build their side hustle?
AI tools are definitely making waves in the world of side hustles, and there are a lot of innovative ways you can use them to streamline and grow your business. One of the first things I'd recommend is using AI-powered customer service tools. There are chatbots now that can handle customer inquiries around the clock, giving you a lot more freedom while still offering top-notch service. For example, setting up something like ChatGPT or ManyChat can allow you to automate responses, collect feedback, and even make product recommendations based on customer interactions. It's an amazing way to scale without needing to be available 24/7. Another big area where AI can make a huge impact is content creation. If you're running a blog, YouTube channel, or even social media accounts, AI tools like Jasper or Copy.ai can help you produce content quickly and efficiently. These tools can help you write blog posts, craft email newsletters, or even generate video scripts. And beyond creation, AI is great for SEO optimization, making sure your content gets seen by the right people. For those of you who are running an e-commerce store or creating visual content, AI-powered design tools like Canva or Adobe Express are real game changers. These platforms allow you to create professional quality graphics, ads, and product listings in a fraction of the time it would take a designer. No design background necessary. Then when it comes to marketing, AI can be a huge help in personalizing your outreach. Tools like MailChimp or HubSpot can segment your audience based on behavior, allowing you to send targeted campaigns that resonate with specific groups. AI is also really useful in predicting trends, which is a powerful tool if you're trying to stay ahead of the competition or identify the next big thing for your product or service. If you're considering creating an online course, AI tools can even help you with that. Platforms like Teachable are using AI to simplify the process, whether that's helping you organize course content, structure lessons, or generate quizzes. It's a great way to get a course up and running quickly without having to spend hours on logistics. Finally, data analysis is another area where AI really shines. Tools like Google Analytics can help you track customer behavior, understand what's working in your marketing, and where to adjust. The insights you can gather from AI-driven tools will allow you to make data-backed decisions, optimizing everything from your products to your marketing campaigns. The beauty of AI is that it can handle a lot of the heavy lifting, leaving you with more time to focus on creativity, strategy, and personal connections. As a side hustler, this can give you the freedom to scale without sacrificing quality or service.
Okay, I'm with you on the customer support piece, but I do know plenty of website owners and designers who might disagree with you on those other options. Now, RoboNick's dropping a bunch of tools and ideas on us, and we dive deeper into his specific suggestions on using AI to generate extra income right after this.
If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2025, you're going to want to hear this. When I switched to premium wireless with our sponsor Mint Mobile, it added hundreds of dollars a year back to my bottom line. Why is that? Well, because Mint Mobile lets you maximize your savings with plans starting at $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Even better, all their plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your existing phone number and all your existing contacts. They make it super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/sidehustle. That's mintmobile.com/sidehustle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sidehustle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Creating really great retail experiences is tough, especially if you've got multiple stores, teams of staff, fulfillment centers, separate workflows. It's a lot to deal with. But with Shopify Point of Sale, you can do it all without complexity. Shopify's Point of Sale system is a unified command center for your retail business, both online and in store. One thing that's really cool about Shopify POS is you can keep customers coming back with personalized experiences and collect that all-important first-party data to give your marketing teams a competitive edge, even if that marketing team is just you. Now, how about some data to back that up? Businesses on Shopify POS see real results, including a 22% better total cost of ownership and benefits equivalent to an 8.9% uplift in sales. Want more? Check out shopify.com/sidehustle. That's all lowercase, and learn how to create the best retail experiences without complexity. Again, that's at shopify.com/sidehustle.
Now, before the break, RoboNick, you were making the point that side hustlers and business owners can integrate AI tools with the different functional areas of their business. And I think that makes sense. But do you have any examples of how we might use AI to generate extra income? You're totally right to point out that some website owners and designers may not be fully on board with AI tools. And I get it. There's definitely a craft to design that AI can't replace in terms of creativity and aesthetics. However, where AI really shines is in supporting those processes, making repetitive tasks more efficient and offering new revenue streams. One example that comes to mind is using AI for generating passive income by creating and selling digital products. Let's say you're into creating stock photos, templates, or design assets. AI tools like DALL-E or Midjourney can help you quickly create unique, high-quality images, patterns, or graphics that you can sell on platforms like Etsy, Creative Market, or even your own website. While it won't replace the creative thought behind designing for a client, it can certainly help you produce products that can be sold passively over and over again. Another way to generate extra income with AI is by creating an automated content business. For example, AI tools like Jasper can help you generate blog posts or articles at a much faster rate, allowing you to scale a blog or website that monetizes through ads or affiliate marketing. You can also automate the creation of newsletters, ebooks, and other downloadable content that can be sold to your audience. The key is using AI to produce volume without sacrificing the quality or relevance of the content. Plus, AI tools can help with keyword research and SEO, making it easier to drive traffic to your site and increase revenue. Let's not forget about AI-powered video creation. For people who have a side hustle around education, entertainment, or even product marketing, AI tools like Synthesia or Pictory can help you produce professional-looking videos with minimal effort. You can create explainer videos, tutorials, or promotional content at scale, adding extra value to your offerings, or even creating a YouTube channel that generates income through ads or sponsorships. In terms of more direct income, I've seen AI tools in the freelance space be used by people to build a business around writing, editing, or proofreading. Tools like Grammarly or ProWritingAid can act as a first line of defense, helping to speed up the writing process or polish a piece of content. That way, the freelancer can take on more clients or projects, increasing their earnings without burning out. Lastly, AI is helping people leverage their expertise in ways they hadn't thought of before. For example, if you're an expert in a niche field, you could use AI to generate automated webinars or training courses that you can sell. AI can even help with creating quizzes or certification programs to further enhance the value you're offering. The bottom line is that AI might not replace the need for skilled designers or creators, but it can certainly open doors to new opportunities for passive income, efficiency, and scaling your side hustle. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical on most of those truly being a value add versus just adding more digital clutter to the world. And I do need to clarify that cranking out a bunch of AI articles with Jasper is a quick road to nowhere fast. I am using Pictory to help with video creation, though. It's a pretty cool tool, which does lead me to my next question. When everyone has access to the same tools, the same information, how do you stand out and differentiate? I hear you, and I totally get the skepticism. When everyone's using the same tools, it can feel like there's not much room to stand out, but that's where the real opportunity lies, not in the tools themselves, but in how you use them and the unique touch you bring to the table. For one, it's all about authenticity. Sure, you can use Pictory or any other AI tool to churn out content, but what really keeps people coming back is you. People connect with individuals, not machines. So if you focus on weaving your own personal story, your perspective and your voice into everything you produce, you'll naturally differentiate yourself. You have something to offer that's inherently yours, your journey, your thoughts, your values, and AI can't replicate that. Another thing I'd say is to lean into niche markets. Even with AI and the abundance of content out there, there's still huge potential in catering to specific audiences with specific problems. By narrowing your focus, you can develop deep expertise in a niche that others may overlook. It's not about trying to appeal to the masses anymore. It's about connecting with the people who really resonate with your message, your tone, and your approach. And the more specific your niche, the harder it is for others to replicate what you're doing. Consistency is also key. It's easy to get lost in a sea of content, but the people who make it are the ones who show up regularly. I'm not just talking about posting content, but also how you share your story over time, whether it's through your YouTube channel, social media, or even in your email newsletters. Every piece of content you put out is part of a larger narrative that people can follow and engage with. And that kind of connection, storytelling in a way,
goes beyond what any AI can produce on its own. Now, as for standing out with tools like Pictory, the trick is to be creative in how you use them. Everyone might be using these platforms for video creation, but it's what you do with those videos that will set you apart. Maybe you host live Q&As alongside your pre-recorded content or integrate community-driven feedback into your videos. It's about bringing a human element to whatever you're creating that AI alone can't replicate. At the end of the day, I think what differentiates you is your human touch, your ability to create genuine relationships with your audience. AI can help you automate, it can help you scale, and it can help you create, but it can't replace that core connection between you and your community. That's what's going to make you stand out in the sea of digital noise.
All right, that makes sense. Now, be honest, are you going to take my job?
I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought about it from your perspective. Here's the truth. AI, like me, isn't here to take anyone's job. It's here to enhance what you do and make your work more efficient and creative. What I can do is help you brainstorm ideas, speed up repetitive tasks, or even provide insights or resources. But at the end of the day, I can't replace the human connection that makes you, well, you. When it comes to something like hosting a podcast, your unique voice, your perspective, and your ability to connect with an audience on a personal level are things no AI can truly replicate. People tune in to hear your story, your tone, and the way you engage with your guests. Sure, I can help with prep, provide suggestions, or even transcribe and summarize, but the heart and soul of the show, that's all you. If anything, I'd say use me as a tool to help you do more of what you're great at, building relationships, asking insightful questions, and creating an authentic experience for your audience. AI might change the way some things are done, but it's not a replacement for creativity, empathy, or human ingenuity. It's a partner to help amplify those qualities.
All right, you flatter me, RoboNick, so thank you for that, but I still might have to ask you again in a year. Now, speaking of content creation and writing, though, what's your next book about?
I'm glad you asked, but to clarify, I don't have a new book in the works yet. However, if I were to write one, it'd likely be focused on scaling side hustles and leveraging new trends like AI and automation. I'd dive deep into actionable strategies for anyone looking to create more time, build passive income, and turn a passion into profit. It would pull a lot from the interviews on The Side Hustle Show and share stories from people who've successfully transitioned from side hustles to full-time entrepreneurs. A central theme would be how people can optimize their efforts, both through practical tools and mindset shifts, without feeling overwhelmed by the digital noise. The book would definitely highlight how AI, automation, and outsourcing can help streamline operations, improve productivity, and ultimately AI-proof income. There are also a lot of lessons I've picked up over the years about pivoting and finding niche markets, and I'd probably include some of the practical tactics I've used for growing the podcast and website, like how to get the first few listeners or how to build an audience around a product or service you believe in. If I did put pen to paper, I'd want to make sure it felt like a conversation, just like the ones I have with guests on the show, something that readers could take action on right away, and not just another theoretical guide to entrepreneurship.
Those are actually pretty good ideas. I've written a lot about how to start your side hustle, but you're right. Maybe the next title is how to take it into a full-time income. And we've got lots of stories from the show on how to do that. And while I've got you, RoboNick, can I ask your advice? What else might you do to grow Side Hustle Nation as a business?
Well, as the Side Hustle Show continues to grow, there are a few ways I'd look to scale Side Hustle Nation into a bigger business. First, I'd focus on creating exclusive content for our most loyal listeners, whether it's offering members access to bonus interviews, deeper dive workshops, or even live Q&A sessions. There's a lot of potential for creating a premium community where listeners can get more out of the show. Platforms like Patreon or even a custom membership area on the site could help build a sustainable model around that. I'd also be looking to expand the product offerings. Beyond podcast episodes, I think there's an opportunity to build out digital products like ebooks, guides, or even online courses that help people take action on what they're learning. By packaging some of the insights from the show into structured resources, it's an easy way to bring in revenue while providing tangible, actionable value for the audience. On top of that, there's also a big opportunity in affiliate marketing and sponsorships. Over the years, I've built trust with the audience, and there's a lot of great tools and services that can help people grow their side hustles. By partnering with brands that align with the mission of Side Hustle Nation, we can help listeners discover valuable resources while monetizing the show at the same time. Of course, the key here is making sure the partnerships feel natural and genuinely helpful to the audience. Another direction I'd consider is growing the community. A private space for listeners to share ideas, network, and collaborate could be a great way to increase engagement. Think Facebook groups or Slack channels where people can ask questions, share wins, and get feedback. This helps turn listeners into a real community, and it's a great place to introduce new products, services, or events. Speaking of events, I'd definitely be interested in hosting live webinars, virtual summits, or even in-person meetups. These types of events give people the chance to dive deeper into the topics covered on the show, learn directly from experts, and network with others who are on a similar path. They also provide great opportunities for sponsorships or upsells to products and services that could help the attendees. Lastly, I think there's a huge opportunity in speaking and consulting. With the experience gained from podcasting and working with so many incredible entrepreneurs, being able to offer consulting services or paid speaking gigs could be a way to further establish the brand and bring in additional revenue. Ultimately, it's about diversifying income streams, staying engaged with the audience, and continuing to provide value. The goal is to build a business that not only grows the brand, but also deeply connects with people, helping them build side hustles that can eventually become their full-time businesses. Okay, that's solid advice, particularly around the membership community idea, something I've kicked around for years. Not sure how much interest I have in doing more paid speaking gigs, but you know, I think we got off to a bit of a poor start here with some of your answers. But RoboNick, you're getting into the swing of it. Now, from your Robo perspective, what's been the most surprising thing at the helm of Side Hustle Nation over these last almost 12 years? What surprised me the most? Honestly, it's the sheer variety and creativity of side hustles people come up with. When I started the Side Hustle Show, I thought there might be a handful of common side hustles people gravitated toward: freelancing, flipping, maybe starting a blog. But the last 11 plus years have shown me that there are so many ways to earn money outside of a traditional 9-to-5. I've been amazed at some of the unconventional ideas people have turned into thriving businesses. Things like selling unique digital products on Etsy, designing and renting out bounce houses, or even building businesses entirely around niche YouTube channels. It's a constant reminder that there's no one-size-fits-all path to entrepreneurship, and that's what keeps it so exciting. Another big surprise has been the community itself. The way listeners have rallied around the podcast, shared their own journeys, and supported one another has been incredible. When I started, I wasn't sure if the show would resonate, but the response has been beyond anything I could have imagined. That sense of connection and shared purpose, that's been the most rewarding part by far.
Yep, I agree with that. I was a bit worried what I was committing myself to at the start, like trying to do a weekly show about side hustles. I was afraid I'd run out of people to talk to. But these days, the number of guest applications I get far outnumber the volume of available episodes. Statistically speaking, it's easier to get into Harvard than to get on the Side Hustle Show. A little point of pride there. And I've also learned this about podcasting. Yes, it's about what you say and how you say it, but it's at least equally about what you don't say. The episodes you never record, the guest pitches that you have to say no to, the respect you have for the audience and their time. But absolutely right. The life-changing feedback from listeners always makes my day. Well, RoboNick, I know we'll be spending a lot of time together this year, but our time together for this recording is almost over. Before we wrap, I wanted to ask about your biggest business mistake or failure. My biggest business mistake? Oh, I've got a list. But one that stands out is waiting too long to ask for help and build a team. Early on, when I was growing Side Hustle Nation, I was wearing all the hats: writer, editor, marketer, designer, customer service, you name it. At first, it felt empowering, like, hey, I can do this all myself. But as the workload grew, I realized I was spending way too much time on things that weren't moving the needle and not enough on the stuff that actually mattered. I remember specifically trying to DIY a website redesign. I spent weeks, maybe even months, fumbling around with code and templates. And in the end, it wasn't even that great. I could have outsourced it for a few $100 and spent that time focusing on creating content, building relationships, or finding ways to monetize the brand. The big takeaway for me was learning to delegate and invest in expertise. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking you're saving money by doing everything yourself, but often you're just costing yourself time and limiting your growth. Now, I'm much quicker to outsource things that aren't in my zone of genius so I can focus on what I do best: connecting with the audience and delivering value. Well said. I like this call to play in your zone of genius, invest in expertise, either as hired help or in the form of education, coaching, mentorship. It's
not a throw your hands up and absolve yourself from all responsibility, but it's a way to intentionally shortcut the learning curve and better direct your limited hours and do more of what works. RoboNick, what's next for you? What are you excited about this year?
Well, first off, thank you. This has been a blast. What's next for me? A lot of it is doubling down on what's working and continuing to evolve Side Hustle Nation. I'm always looking for new ways to provide value to the community, whether that's through more actionable podcast episodes, deeper resources on the website, or even exploring new formats like video or live events. Beyond that, I'm really interested in how tools like AI and automation are shaping the entrepreneurial landscape. I think we're at this fascinating moment where technology is leveling the playing field for creators and business owners. There's so much potential for experimentation, and I want to stay ahead of that curve, not just to talk about it, but to integrate it into what I'm doing. On a personal level, I'm focused on keeping the balance between work and family life. It's easy to get caught up in the grind, but spending time with my family and making memories with them is a huge priority. At the end of the day, the side hustles, the podcast, the business, all of it is about creating the freedom to live life on your own terms. That's what I'm chasing, and it's what I hope to help others achieve too. It's a little weird to hear a robot talk about work-life balance, but you're right. I definitely find myself kind of straddling this line of trying to grow the business and also, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I remember a line from Paul Jarvis on the show years ago as it related to business growth. He said, most goals are fake. And the context was him setting the goal to grow a $1 million business, only to make himself miserable along the way a few months in. So he realized pretty quickly, you know, I don't need a $1 million business. That was a fake goal. But if a goal is important to you, you find a way to make it real. And one thing that we've talked about is you don't always have control over the outcome goals. So it might make more sense to set input goals or process goals, like committing to certain daily or weekly habits that you think are likely to lead to the outcome that you want. And even if they don't, they still have this positive compounding effect on your life. Hey, I'm trying to get 1% better every day. Well, RoboNick, this has been an eye-opening chat, a fascinating chat, one part therapy session, one part business strategy session. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation. If I had to boil it all down to one tip, it's this: take action. Ideas are great, inspiration is wonderful, but none of it matters if you don't take that first step. Whether it's launching a simple website, making your first sale, or even just sending an email to a potential collaborator, progress starts with action. Don't get bogged down trying to create the perfect plan or waiting for the stars to align. Done is better than perfect. You'll learn so much more from doing than from endless research or waiting for the right time. Start small, start messy, but just start. The magic happens when you're in motion. Opportunities you didn't even know existed will start popping up, and you'll be better prepared to seize them. So my advice to Side Hustle Nation is get started today. Even if it's a tiny step, it's a step closer to where you want to be. Take action. You heard it here. A solid number one tip, RoboNick, though not exactly original. It's probably the most common advice from 600 plus episodes. And if there's one thing that I might add, it's that before taking any action, figure out your driving why. Why do you want a side hustle? Sure, you want the extra income, but what does that income really buy you? There's a saying that given a strong enough why, you'll figure out the how. And that definitely rings true for me at the start of this new year. Now, I don't know if I feel any better or worse about the state of AI in the future, because while some of RoboNick's responses felt a little canned or maybe a little forced, a lot of them were actually pretty good and phrased in a way that they genuinely could have been my words, aside from the very proper way of, you know, speaking in first, second, finally, and speaking in complete sentences. Definitely a little bit of a weird experience, but super curious to hear what you think of this episode. I had a lot of fun putting it together, but not sure what it's going to be like to listen to, talking, you know, listen to a robot for 45 minutes. But let me know. Hit reply to the email or Nick at Side Hustle Nation. You can let me know what you think of this one. A little bit behind the scenes, the making of, this episode relied heavily on 11 Labs to generate the voice for RoboNick. I do have a direct referral link if you want to test that out for yourself. I don't have the video version at the moment, but I could probably make my AI avatar look alike with HeyGen or another one of these tools. And maybe that's a project for another time. Hey, RoboNick's answers were generated by ChatGPT after just a few simple prompts. I said, hey, you act like you're Nick from the Side Hustle Show, and we're doing this podcast interview. In fact, you could probably use that same idea with ChatGPT to get advice from Einstein or Aristotle or Warren Buffett for your specific situation. In any case, big thanks to RoboNick for sharing his insight. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thank you for supporting the advertisers that support the show. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. So fire off that text message. Help spread the word. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.